One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. There's a summer party tonight, and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, love you.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the show for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck, and co-hosted by the sweetest, gooeyest girl in all the land, Miss Mango the Gooey Girl. Yeah, she's my co-host, and she's sweetie and gooey. Yeah.
She just rubbed her head on the mic. That was so cute, Mango. And she licked it, too. Oh, my God. She's saying hello. It is the rainiest, gloomiest day in New York right now, which is the perfect podcasting vibes for me. I'm just sitting on the couch, drinking a little Arnold Palmer, and getting into the juice that's in the submission box. What more could we possibly ask for today? I'm riding a high because last night at trivia, we came in second place.
Oi, oi, oi.
I'm so fucking happy about it. We've been going to trivia for a year. So we've played, we're going for a year, but we missed a few weeks around the holidays. So let's call it, we've played like around 50 games total. And of the 50 games we've played as a team, we've only cracked the top three times. We've came in first once, and now we've came in second twice. And last night was almost a first place win. We were tied for first at the end, and then there was a tiebreaker, and we lost the tiebreaker. So we got second place. I was still so happy and satisfied with second, okay? My goal is just to break top three. I don't really care if we get first, second, or third. I just want to break top three because the top three get prizes. First place gets a $50 gift card to the place we play trivia at. Second place is a bag of coffee beans. And third place is a mystery prize selected by our trivia host at the Five and Below. we've never gotten third, and I really would like to get the special prize one of these days. I think last night it was plastic strips of bacon. Would have been sick, but no plastic strips of bacon here. But we got the bag of beans. And I woke up this morning and I made myself a cup of coffee with my new coffee beans. Because no one else on the team has a coffee grinder. So the beans automatically go to me. But last time we won the beans, I gave everyone a keychain. I bought like a message in a bottle keychains and I filled them with the beans. So everyone got a few beans to keep as like a little decor piece. So I'm going to have to do something similar for this win too. We'll keep doing it. Every time we break top three, it's a little celebration. I've got to bring everyone a little treat. And you know what? It was a very dramatic game because first round, title of the first round last night was I'm Batman. And they were all questions about Batman. And when the first question came in, we all looked around at each other and I was like, any of you guys know Batman? Nobody fucking knew shit about Batman, okay? We knew nothing. I think there's eight questions in a round. I think we got three of the eight, which is not good. and we were damn near in last place. I think there were only two teams that did worse than us of like the 17 teams that were playing. So right after the first round, I was like, geez, guys, this is going to be a rough night. We're off to a bad start. It's going to be, tough to climb back from. But somehow against all odds throughout the entire game, we just kept climbing back up until we were tied for first at the end, which was fucking insane. Insanity, babes. We got to make up for it because we had one round that was asking for the most listened to Spotify artists. We had to name 8 of the top 12 as of August 2023, the top played Spotify, monthly Spotify artists. And then the other category that we got a perfect score on was we had to identify fast food chains by the food. So they had like pictures of burgers and stuff, and you had to differentiate like which one is the McDonald's burger versus the Burger King burger versus the Wendy's burger. Anyways, we got all of them right in the fast food round, and we only missed one in the Spotify artist round. And then we had TV show theme songs was the music round, and we did really well for that one too. I think we only missed one or two. Maybe it was just one that we missed that whole round. So we were slaying. We were eating it up after our, you know, first round failure. But then what ended up taking us down in the end, the tiebreaker question, was a Batman question. They do the tiebreakers as like a number that you're guessing, and whichever team gets closer to the correct number wins. So the tiebreaker question was like, what did the newest Batman movie, what did it bring in domestically at the box office? And our number that we guessed was closer to the global number than the domestic number. So anyways, we botched that one. But here's the thing. I don't know shit about superheroes, dude. I've never watched a superhero movie. That's a lie. I've definitely watched a superhero movie. But I'm not into it, okay? Which superhero movies have I watched? Okay, I've seen one Batman movie. I'll admit it. I've seen one. I've seen Dark Knight. The one with Heath Ledger. I've seen that. And what's the other superhero movie that I've watched? Ryan Reynolds and his goofy fucking character. Deadpool. Yeah, I've seen Deadpool. Just the first one. And I think that's it. I think that's my extent of superhero movies. I have no interest in them. Action movies in general, they don't interest me. I'm here for the drama. But action is like too, I don't know. Once we get all the loud noises going on, I'm like, oh my God, they layered on every single crash noise they could think of. They said, let me get every single Foley artist in here to make some fucking noises at once. And it just stresses me out. I'm like, this is too much. Too much is going on. I like horror. I like drama. I like crazy shit. Just like diabolical crazy shit. You know what I'm saying? Action movies, superhero movies, they just don't do it for me. Too much is going on and I can't get myself to care about it. Other movies that I will not care about are like Star Wars movies. I've never seen a Star Wars. Not planning on watching it. You can't get me to. There are things in this life that I refuse. I refuse to watch Marvel movies. I refuse to watch Star Wars. I refuse to watch Lord of the Rings. I will go my whole life not knowing what Lord of the Rings is about, okay? And I say this and I laugh because I think it's so funny how mad the people get when I'm like, I'm never gonna know. I'm never gonna know, and you can't make me know, babes. That is nerd knowledge. I'm not soaking that in. I'm not. Those thoughts will never enter my brain. But you know what I will fill up in my brain, okay, is a catalog of different Trisha Paytas video titles and thumbnails, okay? This is where my trivia brain is loading up knowledge. I will be able to tell you every bit of internet drama that has ever happened ever. Do you need a recap of what happened in the XQC versus H3 debate, if you can even call it that, last week? Because don't worry, babes. I've got you. I can give it to you word for word. I was there. I saw the sights. I soaked it in. I can tell you everything you need to know. I cannot tell you what Lord of the Rings is about. But if you want to like throw off internet quotes at me, I can tell you who said it. We can talk about sucking dick and cock and you did it at my birthday dinner until the sun goes down, babes. Okay? Till the cows go home. But I'm not watching Lord of the Rings. I'm not doing it. There are certain things in this life that I will not do. And that's one of them. And that's one of them. So anyways, every time we get like a superhero category or any type of Star Wars category, you know what else we get a lot of trivia is How I Met Your Mother questions. Never going to watch it. Never going to watch it. Know nothing about it. Don't look at me. So I'm useless when those categories come in. And I just always hope that like somebody else on the team knows those things. And usually none of them do either. And we all just stare at each other and go, any of you guys know Batman? And you guys watch How I Met Your Mother? And everyone just goes, I think I watched it a little. I think I saw one. But I don't remember anything. So I cannot tell you a single fucking thing about it. And then we make up random answers. And sometimes we get one or two. Anyways, in other news, I'm considering going back on dating apps. I don't really want to. I don't know. My feelings about dating apps change on a day-to-day basis at this point. I don't love dating apps. I'm off them for a reason. But also, the longer I'm off them, the more unclear the reason for being off them becomes. Because it's not better. You know? It just feels like it's bleak out here, no matter where you're looking. So I might go back on them and just say, fuck it. But we're going to sit on that for a little while longer. I'm not going to make the call until we reach fall and we really start hitting hard in the I would like someone else to be here sitting on the couch with me months. I think that's my thing at the end of the day is I think those are the moments where I feel those like pangs of like, damn, I wish someone was here the most. Obviously I'm ready for a relationship. I want a relationship. So I feel that like longing, and like that hope for finding the right person for me regardless. But I also really enjoy being single and doing things by myself. So there's not like this, like time crunch on things necessarily. It's just like I want this. I'm open to this. I'm ready for this. Just like a general feeling. But I think they're the like individual moments where I just feel like, God, I want that a lot. Damn it. Fuck. Ah. And I like want to scream and punch a wall for a second. The moments where that feeling comes in is like when I'm sitting at home and I feel that I've had enough alone time and I want to be at home, but I'm like, damn, I just wish someone was here. I wish that I could cook for someone else right now. I wish that I could sit and watch this show with someone. I wish that as I'm watching this podcast that I like, that I could turn to someone else and talk to them about what I'm watching. I wish that I could just have someone to like sit and cuddle with. I think those are, it's the like the simple things. It's when I don't want to necessarily go out and socialize, but I don't necessarily want to be alone where I'm like, okay, I've had enough alone time. I want to be like quiet and cuddly at home, but I just want someone here. And it's like that longing for that kind of like reliability of someone that is like, you know, they're going to come over or I'm going to go over there and we're going to have that time together to just like connect and, I don't know, cook dinner together and watch a show, listen to a podcast. That's the stuff that makes me the most like, fuck. Because, I don't know, that's the day-to-day stuff is really what I like long for, I guess. That kind of companionship that is very reliable and, yeah, all the other things as well. It is horny girl summer after all. But who knows? Maybe I won't go back on dating apps and I'll just continue dating other ways. But, you know, some days we're feeling more optimistic than others. I don't know that I feel super optimistic today. I just feel a little like, God damn it all. I wish that someone was here to suck on my nipple while I watch a movie. Anyways, we will see. We will see how we're feeling in a month and we'll assess from there. God damn it, though. That's all I have to say. If you know, you know. Godspeed and God bless. We are stronger than the troops. All right, with that, let's jump into some of these submissions. You guys are getting crazy in that box these days. You never know what goes down in that box, only me. So if you're looking to get some advice, you want to share your some drama that's going on in your life, you want to just anything you want to open up about at the sleepover, you put it in that submission box and I will go through and I will pick a few of them to read out every single episode. This year, my boyfriend and I will have been together for 10 years. We met at an art school in our first year of college when we were 18 and always knew we were in it for the long haul, so we've never been in a big hurry to make bigger life moves. We just started living together 2 years ago and we have adopted a cat together. We've been talking coyly about engagement stuff, and my boyfriend asked me what my ideal proposal would be, to which I had no idea because, to be honest, I never really thought about it. Not because I don't want to get married, I've actually been the one who's brought it up more, but because I just never quite had the mental space to dream or think about it. It seemed too far away, a goal in the future. It got me thinking, what would be your ideal proposal scenario? Something big and splashy or something more intimate and quiet? I think I'm just looking for a space to talk about romantic and dreamy stuff since I don't have too many female friends that like to talk about this sort of thing. My friends and I talk about this all the time. I love talking about weddings when I'm not even in a relationship. I think about being proposed to all the time. And it happens a million different ways inside my brain. I really don't think it matters how I get proposed to. When I think about being proposed to, it matters less to me what it actually is and more that it is personal to the relationship and my partner put a lot of thought into it. A proposal just the two of us, a proposal with the two of us, but then our friends and family meet us afterwards, a proposal that involves our friends and family. I would be happy with just about anything. It's that part is not as important to me. Other people would care more about that, but I love and live for drama. So I don't think I would care if it was a public proposal, as long as it wasn't somewhere corny as fuck. And I want good photos. This you need to know about me is it better be recorded and you better have good photos. And I better not realize that the photographer is there. Like, just hide everyone, hire the nice photographer, do the whole thing, document it. Please, God, document it, okay? I haven't documented my whole life since I was fucking 10 years old just for you to not document my engagement. But I don't really care what it is. If it was in public, it like, would need to not be somewhere insane in public. Like, when I'm saying a public engagement, I'm still, it would be have to be, like, small. Like, there's just, like, some people there. Like, I think, like, when people get engaged in places like Disney and there's, like, a million people there, I'm like, no. No, I don't want strangers in the background of my engagement photos. But if it's, like, you know, somewhere in public that people could be, like, it's not necessarily 100% private. Like, I'm not saying this is what I want. But as an example, like, if it was on a beach at sunset, there's like, oh, there's some people taking walks on the beach. Like, that, I wouldn't care about that. That would be fine. Here's the, like, stipulation inside my mind is that it needs to be personalized to our particular relationship. So, like, however you propose, I want it to be extremely thoughtful. I don't want you to just, like, whip out a ring somewhere random and then just be like, will you marry me? Like, I'll be like, drama. Where's the drama? Where's the juice? Where's the storyline? I need you to give me something fantastic. You know, I don't need it to be, it can be quiet and fantastic. It can be loud and fantastic, but it just has to be fucking fantastic. You need to bring the drama no matter what the scenario is. It needs to be thoughtful. If you're just like proposing to me to propose to me, that's no fucking fun. I want the proposal to be like, God damn it, how did you plan all this without me figuring it out? I want to be shocked. That's the other part of it. I want to be surprised. I can know it's coming in the sense of like, oh, we've talked about it. But I don't know, though, because the thought of someone being like going ring shopping with someone doesn't sound that fun to me. I'm almost like, I need you to just talk to my best friends, my mom, my sister. Go talk to them. They will know. So just ask them what I want, because they already know and they probably have photos. So don't ask me. It'd be very easy to get my ring size. You probably don't even have to ask me for that. Go through my emails. Go log into my emails, search up an order receipt from where you know I order my jewelry from, and find my ring size. It's not hard. It's not hard. Or you could just like buy me a ring for Christmas 2 years in advance, and then you know my ring size because of that. And then just make sure it's the one I wear on my ring finger. And there you go. I'm just throwing out some ideas if anyone would like to propose to me someday. You can do it in secret. You know, and so that way when I'm proposed to, it's like I know about it in the sense that I know that's where things are heading, but I have no idea when it's going to happen. I don't want to know. I want to be totally fucking surprised, swept off my feet. I want the whole drama to be captured. I'll cry no matter what. I would cry even if I knew it was happening. It's not going to matter. I'm just going to fucking cry because true love makes me cry my eyeballs out. Okay. But yeah, I guess it doesn't really matter to me how I'm proposed to. It just matters that it's thoughtful and dramatic and special, unique to our relationship. That's it, I guess. I don't know. I think if I had to rank all of them, my top choice would be like an engagement that mixes privacy and our family and friends. And then my second choice would probably be a dramatic private engagement. And then my third choice would probably be a dramatic public engagement. The drama is there in all three of them, though. Don't you forget it. I am not very good at cooking, but you know what does make me feel good at cooking is HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients and seasonal recipes delivered straight to your doorstep. That way you can skip your trip to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make cooking just a little bit easier. Some of us are just not natural chefs. We're just bad at it. I wasn't born with the cooking skill. But with HelloFresh, it's basically foolproof. They deliver the exact amount of ingredients that you're going to need for each recipe, so you just have to follow the directions. As long as you can read and follow directions, you can make a delicious meal with HelloFresh. I've really loved using HelloFresh because being someone that lives alone and is only cooking for one, it's a lot easier to just do HelloFresh and get exactly the right amounts of things that I need rather than going to the grocery store and trying to speed through and use all of my produce before they go bad, which inevitably they always go bad. I can never use all of it. It's just impossible to do it when you're only cooking for one person. Not to mention that they have 40 different recipes to choose from every week, so your taste buds will always be kept on their toes. So if you're interested in trying out HelloFresh for yourself, you can go to HelloFresh.com/50emotionallyonline and use code 50emotionallyonline for 50% off plus free shipping. Again, that is HelloFresh.com/50emotionallyonline and use code 50emotionallyonline for 50% off plus free shipping. Hi, Maddie. I have really appreciated the content you've made about self-love and your body image. I'm not plus size, but I've struggled my entire life with my body image. The past year, I've started gaining more confidence about my appearance and I've been dressing to show off my body more. I started dating my ex of 3 years again and things were going great. He used to be fat and when we broke up, he stopped eating for a while and lost a dramatic amount of weight. Now he brags about how he only eats one meal every other day. I've expressed concern to him about this, but he refuses to have a conversation. Recently, he told me he wants to lose more weight and suggested I only eat one meal a day. Recently, he told me that he wants me to lose more weight and suggested I only eat one meal a day to do so. He is now cut out from my life forever, but he didn't leave without telling me that he has always been disappointed in my appearance. This is going to leave a huge mark on any progress I've made in the self-love department, and I guess I'm just wondering how you've remained so strong in the face of people who want to make you feel bad about your body. What the fuck? This guy deserves a prison sentence for that, first of all. Okay, let me gather my thoughts. I think my first reaction in the beginning half of when you're writing this is I do feel like a very deep sadness for people that have struggled with their weight that never come to like a healthy mental place with it. I feel sad for people that are formerly fat people and they have like such an intense hatred for the way their body used to look that they carry with themselves in the present tense as well, to the point where they're like so terrified of looking that way again that they're starving themselves, eating one meal a day, and they're projecting that fear onto other people as well. That makes me really sad because like my gut reaction there is not even to be mad at those people, because I think that like fat phobia is like a vicious, insidious thing, because I can see how it can happen and how people can convince themselves that eating one meal a day in pursuit of thinness is somehow healthier than just being fat and eating well and exercising, and maybe your body doesn't change in appearance that much, but you have better habits. It makes me sad that someone could believe that working on habits would be less effective towards achieving health than just like gunning towards thinness, even if it means starving yourself. That's really upsetting to me. And I do feel like sad and very sorry for people that are in that mental state, because that's really difficult. And I can see how people get to those places. I used to have an eating disorder myself. I get it. And it's tough. So I feel for those people, even if I incredibly disagree with their worldview and think that it's damaging the kinds of ways that they speak about body image and weight loss and the pursuit of thinness at any cost, I guess. Where my like pity and sadness for this person starts to end is when they start projecting it on other people. Once it goes beyond this person and like their fractured way of seeing body image and health, once that bleeds past themselves and onto the people around them is when I start to get a little mad and fired up. Because for anyone, first of all, I mean, personally, I think it's inappropriate for a partner to ever like demand that you lose weight and be like, this is what I want you to look like. I need you to lose weight for me. I think that's totally inappropriate for any reason, especially if you've never brought up wanting to lose weight yourself. I think that it's just hurtful and can make people feel like they have to, or that they won't be desirable or attractive as they are. I think that like weight loss is one of those things that is a very delicate topic. And I think especially in a relationship with a partner, I think your job is to be loving, be supportive, and make sure your partner, if they are undergoing any weight loss, is doing so the right ways with, you know, proper guidance from healthcare professionals if necessary. I would never think it's appropriate for a partner to basically be like, this is what I want you to look like. This is what I want for you. Like, shut the fuck up. I just think making your partner feel like they have to look a certain way in order to receive love from you is super fucked up. I think it's fucked up. That's not how I go through life. That's not how my love works. And I wouldn't want to be with someone whose love worked that way, whose love was conditional upon what it is that I looked like, or that they could love me more if I looked a different way. That's fucked up to me. And I would just never want to be with someone that viewed the world and weight like that. I've struggled enough with my body image throughout my life, okay? I've been mean enough to myself my entire life. I need to be with someone that loves me and is so gentle and nice and understanding of me. Fuck everything else. Like, that's what matters to me, is having a partner that is loving and supportive and understanding. And this is why I'm more drawn to dating plus size people, because I feel like sometimes it's something that only other plus size people understand. Not saying that other people couldn't. I've dated plenty of non plus size people that were just as, you know, loving and supportive and understanding of me and my body image journey, and, you know, are able to be there for me and show up for me in the ways that I need without making me feel bad or making me feel like I need to look a different way. But I think in general, like, it's hard having like a tumultuous relationship with yourself and your body and trying to develop like a healthier relationship with yourself, and having other people chime into that in any way or try to influence you in any way, is just like, it sucks. It's not nice. It doesn't feel good. Like, I've talked a few times on my channel about how I've been seeing a nutritionist for like 2 years now. And earlier this year, I started working on healing my relationship to movement. I started taking dance classes. And you'll notice every time I talk about this, I never talk about weight loss because it's not about weight loss to me. I don't care about losing weight. To me, it's about building healthier habits between myself and food and movement and allowing myself to feel more confident in the choices that I'm making. Healing the wounds that have followed me since childhood in these areas of my life so that I can become a healthier version of myself, whatever weight that I am. Weight is just a number to me. It doesn't matter. I care that I am making healthy choices and that I'm developing healthy habits. That's it. Weight is so unimportant to me. And if I was with someone that made it about weight, like that would be a mega problem to me. If I was with someone that made my like personal journey with my body image and feeling good about what they want me to look like, I would be enraged. It just wouldn't hit. Also, like I said, I've struggled with an eating disorder in the past. I've had it bad. Okay. My brain used to be a not fun place to be. So now that I'm not in that place, what I super don't need is a partner to bring me to that place. Your partner should be a safe space, not someone that is like making you feel like shit every day. So I'm so sorry that a partner ever said that to you and made you feel that way. That is truly despicable. I'm so glad that you cut him out of your life and decided that that was not for you. The fact that when you cut him out, he had to leave just a little bit of a final note saying that he's always been disappointed in your appearance, which I wouldn't take that to heart, babes. I never understand when people get rejected and their immediate response is to be like, oh, you're fat anyways. You're ugly anyways. I didn't even like you. Because it's like, wow, does they think that that makes them look better? Because in all honesty, it just solidifies that they're a fucking loser. Because here's the thing. If you were ready 20 minutes ago to date me, fuck me, do whatever it is with me, and you actually think I'm ugly and now you're saying it because I rejected you, all you've now just told me is that your standards are on the floor for yourself. Like, if I'm not it for you, if I don't check your boxes, if I'm not the most attractive woman in the world to you, fine, but why were you just gonna be with me? Like, do you just accept attention from anyone? Do you just, you have no standards, bars on the floor, so even though you're not into me, you're still gonna entertain it? That's embarrassing for you. Option number two, and the more common option, is that you are butthurt that you just got rejected, and so you have to find a way to put yourself on top again and be like, well, you were ugly anyways. I always thought you were unattractive anyways. And it's like, no, you didn't. I don't know. It's just confusing to me. I'm like, you look bad either way. Either this is a lie because you're butthurt, or it's the truth and your standards are on the floor. So which one is it going to be? I think my advice to you here and how I feel that I've been able to push through things that people have said to me in the past is like, number one is that I try to hold space for other people to struggle with themselves and their bodies. And this might not make sense because it's like, why are we holding space for assholes? And I get that. But it helps me to be able to be like, this person is hurting. This person is carrying a great deal of pain with them and they don't know how to sit with it. And I can relate to them and, you know, in a few different ways. Like, I can relate to someone feeling the pressures of like living in a fatphobic society and feeling like they need to look one certain way. I can relate to, you know, someone engaging in eating disorder behavior to achieve that, the pursuit of thinness at all costs. I get it because I used to feel that way. I can relate to those parts of it. And so I find myself just trying to hold space and feel sad for people like that, because they're suffering and they're sick. And that's really sad. So number one is like when people say things like that. Can you sit on my lap? So I just try to remind myself that these people are hurt, and that hurt people. And they are saying these nasty things about you because that's how they feel about themselves. And that's really sad that they are going through their life thinking such awful things about themselves on a day-to-day basis. And this is now how they're going to speak about other people as well. When I allow myself space to just feel sad for these people, that they have like totally fallen victim to these fatphobic ideals and diet culture, it allows me to take it way less personally, because it's really not about you. It's a projection of how they feel about themselves and how deeply unhappy they are with their own lives. That's all. And I think another part of it for me is also just being like, you don't have to find me attractive. I'm not going to be for everyone the same way that everyone is not for me. And if you don't find me attractive, if you don't want to be with me, that's fine. You know, like, I'm not here to take those things personally or to hold someone's opinion on a pedestal. You can have your opinion on whether or not you find me attractive. That's fine. But your opinion is not God. It's not gospel. And I'm going to hold my opinion of myself to a higher degree than yours. So you don't have to find me attractive. I don't have to be for you. But your opinion also does not have to be important to me. And I think just learning to put more weight in my own opinion has helped a lot. Taking less importance out of the opinion of other people. I don't need to be hot to everyone, okay? I need to be hot to me. And I need to be hot to, you know, select people that I also want to be with. But this guy sounds like an asshole that you don't want to be with. So I suppose it doesn't really matter what he thinks. But also, anything that he's saying to you is really not a reflection of you. It's a reflection of how he feels about himself. So these are just things that I would remember and keep in mind. Hello, Maddie. I absolutely love you and your podcast. I have recently had an incident where I was at a bar with my friends. One of my so-called friends went into the bathroom of that bar and started calling me a snake and talking bad about me. Little did she know that my other friend was also in the bathroom and heard the entire thing. I was so angry because I would never talk about her behind her back, and I have even defended her to people that would say mean things about her. When I went to confront her, I was so mad that when I began to speak, I started crying. I couldn't really get any words out. Thank God my real friend was there and she went off on her, calling her a horrible friend. This happens to me a lot when I am so mad that I start crying, when I really just want to go off on the person that I'm mad at. I know it's okay to cry, but it is so annoying when it happens, when I am frustrated and mad and can't get my point across. I wish I could be a bad bitch that other people are scared of instead of the crybaby that they think they can walk all over. Any advice on how to not cry in these types of situations would be great. I'm not going to give you advice on how to not cry, because I don't think it's a problem that you are crying. I get that it can be frustrating to be in a situation where you feel like so intensely and you have so much that you want to say, but you just can't get it out. But I think that's fine. I think that it is completely normal when you're in very emotionally intense situations to need to take a minute before you can talk about what's going on. To take a minute to cry and to be angry and to talk it out with your friends before being able to talk to whoever is making you feel this way. I don't think that your priority should be on looking like a bad bitch or being like, take no shit and I'm going to tell you off for doing this. I'm going to put you in your place. Your priority should be on comforting yourself. You know? I think we'd all like to have this like movie moment where we stand up for ourselves and we make them look like an idiot and, you know, whatever else. But I think that is ultimately so unimportant in comparison to taking care of yourself. So if right now in this moment you need to cry, you should cry. And also, I don't think that even if you are going to confront them in the moment, I don't think it's a bad thing to cry while you're confronting them. I don't think it makes you look bad in any way. Why would it? You're allowed to be upset. They did something really fucking hurtful. And it doesn't delegitimize what you're saying because you're crying. I get if sometimes it's like you're feeling so much and you have so much to say and you want to say it correctly. And in those situations, I would encourage you to not talk about it in the moment and to take time to cry and be angry and gather your thoughts before having the conversation. Like if it's so important that you hit all of your points, if there's like so much that you really want to say and you want to make sure you say all of it without crying, just so that you like are, you know, your head is about you and you remember everything you want to say, I get that. And if that's the case, I would tell you to take time and not do it in the moment. Wait to have the conversation until you feel like you are emotionally strong enough to have that conversation, that you've already processed the like crying and anger part of it. And you can just go in to the conversation and say all of your points, say everything you need to say without getting emotional and then losing your train of thought. Cause I get that that's a frustrating part of it if that's what's happening. But also again, these situations should not be popping up that often. Let's hope that you're not in a situation like this again, because that friend sounds like they suck. So hopefully you won't be in many situations in your life where you are forced to confront someone for talking shit about you behind your back while you are also in the bathroom. Your friend's also in the bathroom. Hopefully that's not going to happen again, because that's insane. And yeah, what a shitty thing to go through. I'm sorry you went through that. And let's hope that you will never be in a situation like that ever again. Hello, Maddie. Hope you're well and emotionally recovered from Love Island. Question for you. You mentioned that your future partner has to be okay with Mango and you all cuddling in bed together. No cat haters allowed. True. However, on the flip side, have you considered the real possibility that they'll actually love Mango and steal her affections from you to the point that she actually loves cuddling and playing with him more and you'll be the third wheel in the relationship? Because this happened to my friend and I just think people need to be more emotionally prepared for pet love hijackings. What do you think you would do if this happened to you? First of all, it would literally never happen. I don't think you get it. Second of all, I love when Mango loves other people. It's so sweet to me to see Mango develop relationships with like my friends and people that are around the house a lot. She used to be so shy and like anxious. She hid under my bed for so long. And then we worked up to a place where like she trusted me and she wasn't afraid of me. But anytime someone else was in the house, she was hiding. And it was like this for so long. She was scared of everything. Okay. I worked so hard to get this little bitch out of her fucking shell. And now she's like so social. People come into the apartment. She's never met them before. She's walking up to them, sniffing them. She'll go sit on people's laps sometimes. Like, you know, she's so much more social than she was when I first got her. And she's not nearly as scared as she was, you know, 3 years ago when I adopted her. And so I love when I see her taking to friends that I have when we're all sitting on the couch and she goes and sits on my friend's lap instead of mine. That makes me feel so happy that Mango is like loving and trusting more people. But at the end of the day, I know who her number one is, you know, like she's a quarantine cat who knew me and only me for, you know, the first year of her life. So I'm not worried about Mango loving someone else more than me because I know it's not fucking possible. I'm her one and only. I'm her chosen one. Yeah, I mean, I would love if I had a partner, I would love if Mango also loved my partner. That would be sick. But they'll always be number two. I'm not worried about being replaced in the number one position, okay? I'm the one that feeds her. I'm the one that loves her. I'm the one that does literally everything in the world for her. Okay. We are bestianas. Don't you forget it. I've been trying to get back into casual dating. I feel like I don't have the time or energy for it. So the stress of dating often isn't worth it since I'm genuinely happy being single, but I'd like to have a boyfriend/girlfriend. I'd like to fall in love and kiss someone this summer while the sun is still warm. The issue is, I'm awful at telling people I'm not interested in a second date if I wasn't feeling it. I recently had a first date with someone I'd been speaking with for 2 weeks pretty consistently every day, and we decided to go bowling. The conversation wasn't necessarily boring, like it was fine, but it felt so forced. Like I would make a light joke, then it was like a mirror and they had to match me and make a joke too. They'd do a bad bowling round and do a weird foot jig to walk back to the booth, like a jig of defeat for that round. And then the jig was done multiple times. Maybe they were just socially awkward. I don't know. I was on the receiving end of a lot of mime-like, overly exaggerated frowny and smiley faces. Instantly, I knew it wasn't going to work, but I wasn't going to end the date early. Somehow the date ended up being over 3 hours long. We left saying, oh, this was so fun, we'll have to hang out again, because I don't know how to say no, and I felt bad because the bowling round cost $80, even though I got the drinks. I didn't follow up, and neither did they, even though I swear it seemed like they were feeling the date, so I don't know why they're ghosting. You stop it. I've ghosted people in the past. Sometimes it's a mutual ghosting like this one, but I want to be able to communicate like an adult. And if I'm going on casual dates, I'm sure there will be plenty of people not getting second dates. How do I say no to a second date / break things off without seeming like a horrible person? You're killing me. This is so funny. Yeah. So you weren't feeling it. You got the ick and you weren't feeling it. That's fine. I don't think that any of what you said was a red flag or anything that reflects poorly on this person. I think a lot of people would find exactly what you described endearing and fun. So it doesn't seem like there's anything wrong with this person. It just wasn't for you, which is also totally fair. Not everyone you're going to go out with is going to be for you. You didn't follow up and neither did they. And you seem a little salty that they didn't follow up. But listen, isn't this the ideal situation, that neither of you seem to be interested in another date? You know, it's maybe you were both doing the same thing. You were pretending to feel the date and they were too. So it is what it is, you know? I think it all worked out here. I don't believe it's ghosting after one date if you don't reach out personally, so I wouldn't even call this ghosting. But even so, you're going to need to know how to say no to people when you inevitably end up in a situation where you don't want to go on another date, but they do, you know, and it's not a mutual situation. I think we overcomplicate these conversations. I do not think they have to be a big deal, especially if this is someone you've known for like one or two dates. You don't need to have a big conversation. Literally all you have to say is, hey, so nice meeting you. I had a lovely time on our date, but I don't feel a romantic connection. So I don't think that we should go out again. But good luck. I hope you find what you're looking for. Boom. That's it. Just say, I didn't feel a romantic connection here. That's it. That's all you have to say. It's so easy, and it is completely unoffensive. You've known this person for one date, you know? It's no harm, no foul. You didn't feel it. You didn't feel it. Sorry, I just didn't feel a connection. That's all you have to say. I don't know. I feel like you can usually tell after a first date if the vibe isn't there. Like, I don't think I've ever had this conversation after one date. After one date, if the vibe isn't there, we both knew it and we just didn't reach out to each other. But after like two or three dates, I've definitely had to say to people that like I just didn't feel a romantic connection. And people have said it to me too. So I've been on the receiving end. It's never going to be like the most exciting day of your life to be rejected, but it's like, ah, damn, that sucks, whatever. And you move on. It's not a big deal, you know? So I think it's always better to be honest and upfront once you're past the first date mark. I think first date, if it doesn't go well, if there's not a spark, usually you guys both know and you can just not go out in a second one. But if they ask you out in a second, you don't want to go. You just say that you didn't feel a romantic connection and you hope you find what they're looking for. All right. Well, with that, I think it's time for me to go make some dinner, watch some TV, hang out more with my gooey gal. I love her so friggin' much. Come on. You think that she would ever love anyone more than me. Who are you joking and kidding with? Mango loves everyone, but make no mistake, I am her one and only. If she could wear a locket, I would be inside of it. And you know what? That's so real, because if I could wear a locket, she would be inside of mine too. Also, I'm literally getting a tattoo for her next week, so don't even try it. Next episode, I will have a mango tattoo. That's so exciting. Me and Mango in a martini glass. Hee. All right. Follow me on Instagram at Maddie Drosbeck if you haven't already. Also follow the podcast Instagram account at Emotionally Online. I'm trying to post more on there. If you haven't picked up your Emotionally Online merch yet, we've still got some stock available. People are now starting to get their stuff in the mail. I'm seeing more and more of you guys wearing your pieces, and I'm just so stoked to see you guys, especially wearing those purple sweatsets, okay? Because the purple sweatsets are the moment. So you can still pick up some Emotionally Online merch. Remember, this is limited edition stuff. So once the stock is gone, it's not coming back. So get in there and get your sweat sets and your band tees and your rotary sweaters while you still can. So with that, I love you guys so much. Thank you so much for listening. And I will see you next week. Goodbye.
Okay, it's your turn. Truth or dare?
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.